Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Such an honor to be with you in your living room, in your bedroom, in your apartment, wherever you are online. It's a joy to be with you today. I'm going to be finishing our series called Love Is. This is the final message of what has been an awesome series, really deeply encouraged me. I really appreciate our pastors and leaders who have brought the Word of God into our lives and into our hearts. I know that my family and I have really appreciated it. We've been very comforted and also very convicted at times to watch this as a family. And what an incredible series based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So this is our final message. I'm going to put an exclamation point on the Love Is series, and we look forward to next Sunday starting and launching our new series called Our Foundation, Our Founders, where we are privileged to have some of our co-founders of Every Nation New York City bring the Word of God into your home next week, this coming week. By the way, this is our anniversary month of October. That's why we're choosing the month of October. That's our actual anniversary going back 19 years ago. And life-changing moment, 9/11, and then launching our church out of that tragedy and that tragic situation. You know the story. Many of you know the story. And in case you don't, you will have the opportunity to meet some of our founders. Next Sunday, Pastor Tim Johnson, Senior Pastor of Bethel World Outreach Center in Orlando, or actually it's called Orlando World Outreach Center. He was sent over from Bethel World Outreach Center. So Pastor Tim comes to us. He has a background in the NFL. He was a lineman for the Washington Redskins. He's got a Super Bowl ring. I've threatened to steal it from him many times. It's quite impressive. The huge, huge ring there. And Pastor Tim will be sharing a message on reconciliation. He and his wife, Lachelle, have modeled this so deeply in their lives and in their community to see a change of the environment in their church and in their community. He's been leading walks across the state of Florida, prayer walks, and he's been very active in his community in this particular season where there's been great racial tension. And I thank God for Pastor Tim and Lachelle because they are change makers and they are difference makers in their community and in many lives. And we're breaking down walls together as he speaks on reconciliation this next month. What could be more beautiful, more apropos in this season? Because God is ultimately, He is the God of reconciliation. Whether you understand that word or not, this is a critical time to get a hold of that because it is something that Jesus said, I give you the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're called to be, is bridge builders and those who are tearing down divisive walls of polarization and division through the unity that we share in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a great time. Okay, here's our closeout message. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 through 13 is our text. And here we go. Love, it starts with this. Love never ends. That means it doesn't cease. It doesn't fail. The Greek word there could mean it doesn't faint or pass out. And it doesn't tap out. Love continues on. As for prophecies, they pass away. Tongues, they cease. Knowledge will pass away. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial passes away. And then Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. Then I became a man and I gave up my childish ways. And that is the reality of what love does in our hearts. The love of God causes us to grow up and embrace what is really matter of fact important. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be know fully, even as I have been known fully. So now faith, hope, and love abide, but these three. But look at this. The greatest of these, of all the knowledge, all the gifts of the Spirit, all the power of God, the greatest of these is love, because the love of God is greater than all of these. It really and truly is. It's not a philosophy. It's not a nice little sprinkle on a little love here and there. It's a gift from God. And the Apostle Paul wrote that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God's love is poured, and that is a Greek verb that's talking about it continues to be poured into our hearts. It's not a one-time event. It's a continual action verb that the love of God continues. It doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day, the love of God is still there. You could be up or you could be down, the love of God is still there. You could be in the valley or in the mountaintop, the love of God is with you, and God has no intention to ever withdraw His love in our hearts. It's there to stay. It's awesome. And the good news, that's the good news. And when Paul wrote to this church at Corinth, they were so out of order, so rambunctious, so bad, so mean-spirited. They were disregarding and disrespecting the elderly, the poor, the disabled. They were fighting over a place at the table. There were so many moments where Paul called them and said, how can you come to the Lord's table in a drunken state and push people out of your way to be the first to eat the Lord's Supper? And there was a lot of rebuking that Paul was doing in this, but the main thing that he said is most important is that he teaches us and reminds us that we must walk in love. We must be those who embrace love, walk in love, receive love, and give love and pour love out. And he said that the love of God, once it's received, moves us from a place of temporary to eternal, that's verse 8, partial to perfect, verse 9 and 10, from the child to the man, verse 11, and oh, as parents, don't we long for our children to leave their childhood place and really, I mean, really grow up to think and reason differently. From the mirror to face-to-face, what do you see when you look in the mirror? You see yourself, I see myself. But he's saying we go from that place of just looking at ourselves and our self-needs, our self-construct, our self-awareness, the things that we feel are most important to ourself, and we project that into everybody should think that way. But he said, no, we're going to leave the mirror and move to face-to-face, where we actually pick up the understanding, the hurt, the pain, the empathy of others. And that's what Paul's saying here of what love does. And that's why he says it's the greatest of all the virtues. It's the greatest gift of all. And there's so much at stake here. The book of James calls it the royal law to love one another as we love ourselves. It's royal because it's mandated from the king. The king says, this is how I describe my kingdom. We don't come into his kingdom and tell him what we need and what we should do and what he should do rather and where to go and how to arrange things. He says, no, when you step into my kingdom, this is what you do. You love others. You give your life away. You esteem others as more important than yourself. And it's not an option at all. It's interesting. And the one thing that Jesus said about his followers, he said, they're going to know that you're my followers because you love each other, which is extraordinary. How are we known? Are we known by as Christians because of how we dress, how where we eat, how we hang out, how we vote, what political party we're out of, what group we're part of? No, you're going to be known by one thing, and that is that you love each other. And that excites me because that's something that we can do. We'll never be the same in how we view everything else. But we can be united and of the same spirit when we receive that love of God, and not only in the impact it has on us, but how we also give that away. Otherwise, we end up like Paul says, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And he says, people are going to be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and not lovers of God. And I don't want to end up being a mean dude. I don't want to be mean. A mean Christian is the worst. Oh my goodness. Legalistic, Bible thumping. You got to line up. You got to straighten up. Man, I'm just so thankful that God is not that way. He loves us where we are. And he not only loves us on the outside, but he puts that love on the inside so that we can be the kind of Christians we need to be and not the out of order ones or the mean spirited ones like he was writing to in the book of Corinthians. You know, they all needed cleansing stream back then. And it's a little program that we have in our church, but man, is it ever effective to get our hearts straightened out, because all the problems of the world begin and end in our heart. They don't end in our heart, but they begin in our heart and they flow out of our heart to build life and do wonderful things or to be destructive and polarizing and divisive. We don't want to be that. How is all this made possible? It's because Jesus gave himself and showed us the love that we never received like his love, his agape love, his unflinching love, his always love, his never ending love, his unconditional love that God gives us. I love how Sally Lloyd-Jones in this little Jesus storybook Bible, how she puts this. She calls it God's love like this: nothing can ever, no, not ever, separate us from the never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love of God that's in Jesus Christ. I love that book. I read it to my girls quite frequently, and I don't know what they're getting out of it, but I know that it's changing my life as I read the storybook Bible about Jesus, because Jesus is love. Man, he tore down every wall. He's so awesome. And as we begin to look at the character and nature of Jesus and his love, we can see that his love took him to places where the disciples said, don't go there, don't go there. For example, there was a Samaritan woman, and you know that the Jews and the Samaritans were not friends. You know, the Samaritans were half-breed. They were half-Jew, half-Gentile. And so the Gentiles didn't like them and the Jews didn't like them. It was an unfortunate, disenfranchised people group, if you will, in that time period. And Jesus, instead of doing what the disciples would do, walk around Samaria, Jesus walked right through it. And he went to the hangout spot, the place, like be like the bar. He went to the well, which was their place of hanging out and connecting with one another in the community. And Jesus' disciples could not believe when their rabbi, they're like, what is the rabbi up to now? He's walking through Samaria, and then he stops with this woman. And he had this exchange with her when he spoke to her. He said, as he was drawing, he was explaining how Jesus was explaining to the woman that he was the water of life. And he was talking to her, and which was so unusual and so bizarre. Man, God help us to be those that break barriers and connect with people like Jesus did. And that's the whole idea of the love of God being in us, not just sort of stored up and feel good, but it's so that we can give that love away. And Jesus said to the woman, he said, call your husband and come back here. And the woman said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she was so touched by the word of knowledge and his ongoing ministry to her that she felt loved and felt the love of God for the first time in her life. For the first time in her confused, messed up, broken down life, she felt love. Man, love of God that knows no barriers, that doesn't stop, that crosses over into other people's worlds. His love. She dropped her water pot. She went back to her people to share the good news of Jesus. And she said these words in John 4:29, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this possibly be the Christ? The answer, of course, was yes, and he told her that. Then there was the time that Jesus ministered to the man named Legion. The man named Legion, he was got on the boat with his disciples, and there was a storm. They overcame the storm, and then Jesus says, let's go over to the other side. Well, the other side was where the Moabites were, and that was unclean territory. Now, Jesus once again was testing their faith. Will you love me? Do you love me strong enough to watch this happen? What's about to go down? And Jesus stepped foot out there, and this man who was a matter of media, and they talked about him. They wrote about him, this crazy man in the tombs who was out of his mind. He had no clothes. He was didn't have a home. He was sleeping out there, and he began to scream at Jesus, and he fell at the feet of Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus showed compassion, and he came to set the captives free, and Jesus did what no one had ever done. He changed that man's life. He didn't just write him up as a marginalized, weird dude out there. He wrote him up as someone who could be changed and be released. And when Jesus did the most dignifying thing, he said, what is your name? He said, Legion. Legion was a Roman battalion of somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 people, meaning this guy was saying, there are thousands of demons inside of me, thousands. That he didn't even know his name. He was out of his mind. But Jesus set him free. Thousands of demons left him. Then he sat there, clothed in his right mind, worshiping Jesus. And he was the first one to say, Jesus, can I follow you? Can I go be with you? Can I be one of your disciples? And Jesus said, no, you're going to be the first missionary. You go back and preach to your people and tell them what the Lord has done for you. And so that is the nature and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so many people today would have just, you know, posted it in social media and just said, there he goes again, crazy man up there, the naked man running around. But Jesus wouldn't have it. He went, he came, he conquered. He conquered evil. He conquered the grave. And that's how we can really get to know the love of God, is by our focus on Jesus, looking, considering Jesus, Have you considered Jesus lately? We're being forced to consider everything that's going on with the world right now, and all the horrific news and the tearing apart of our country, the tragedy that's been happening. Oh my goodness, so much tragedy, tragic situations that are going on right now. I lost a loved one to suicide this week, one of my fellow pastors and dear friends, and just being confronted all over again with the trauma and the tragedy of this world. And it just took a day of my life just to process and feel that pain all over again. For my friend who's actually preached in our church before, and many years ago, many of you would not know this gentleman, but it was mental illness in this season, estrangement, probably wasn't on his medication, and the enemy came in and took his life. And, you know, it's just really sad what's going on in the world today and the things that we have to face. But you know what? There's nothing like the love of God that lifts us out of our despair, our depression, the love of God, that when we look at Jesus, we can be at rest and we can know that He's got the whole world in His hands. He's going to bring you through. He's going to bring my friend's family through. He's going to bring all of us through. I've been at the lowest points in my life when I had nothing but the love of God. He never lets go of us. He never taps out on us. He never passes out on us. He's there. That whole saying that God will never give you more than you can handle is not true, unfortunately. God will give you more than you can't handle, but you find out that He can handle it, and He's got it. He's got your situation, and He's got a plan. It's not random. He's got a plan to bring you through. But He doesn't stop with the down and outers, the broken, or the disenfranchised. Jesus goes into the intellectual world also. There was an attorney, a legal mind, a brilliant mind, a legal person, very religious, highly known and respected. And Jesus reached out to him, and He showed His love in another way. And that is after His death, burial, resurrection, and His ascension, He appeared to this man on his little journey to a town. He was from a man named Saul, and he was from Tarsus. And he was headed into another town, and while going on, he had already sent in execution papers for Stephen and other Christians, dragging them off to jail and to prison and having them flogged and beaten, and some were martyred. And right there, Jesus appears to him, and this man then heard this voice come out of heaven saying, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It was Jesus talking. And his beautiful identification with his own people who were being persecuted. That's another thing that I just love so much about Jesus. He identifies with me and my plight. He identifies with you. He identifies with those who are being beaten, trampled, murdered, killed unjustly. He identifies with those that think that they're forgotten or not known, or those who don't even know their name, those who are out of their mind. Jesus loves. Jesus cares. Jesus gives His life, and that's what you see. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" to that voice. And He said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." You know, His love never fails, and His love always wins. His love is so incredibly powerful. I was in another city this week, and as I was there in this other city, it was just a remarkable time of really being with a friend and finding out another community tragic situation, horrible situation, where there was a drunken party with a bunch of high school students, and then there was they went from drunkenness into craziness and into basic disrespect of humanity and some derogatory names and things that were written down and some speech crime, hate crime, if you will. I'm not sure, but it was bad. And my friend, an African-American pastor, made sure that justice was done. I mean, they were going to do justice. It was a bad situation. But he, at the same time of looking at this horrible situation that no one liked, by the way, it was not celebrated at all. It was a drunken state situation with the young people. And when it happened, the person that it happened to then became the bad guy. He was out of his mind, and the punishment is being paid right now. But my friend steps up because everybody said this will mark his life, this will ruin his life. Some people said it with sadness, some people said it with gladness. But my friend stepped up and he said, now that justice is being done, we also love mercy. We don't just stop at justice, we love mercy. And he said, I'm going to make sure that this young man knows that he will not be marked this way and he will not be known this way. But we're going to give him an opportunity of a lifetime to come and be around us and watch what Jesus Christ can do to change his life. And that's what's happening right now, not only in his life, but that entire community. So God is moving in towns and places where people are operating out of the love of God and not out of the current hatred and polarization and anger and meanness. And we know that we can be prone to that so easily. I can fall into the walking in an unloving spirit. But God says, no, it's my love that conquers everything. Our Lord and Savior taught us this. And his power is so readily available because that's what he did for us on the cross. He bore our pain. He bore our sickness. He bore our sin and our sinfulness so that we too don't have to live in shame for the rest of our lives. We don't have to live beat up for the rest of our lives. Our Lord and Savior has conquered this level of evil and despair. And it's a remarkable thing because God really wants us to move in love and walk in love. And I love this morning devotional, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Perhaps you've heard of that. It's a legendary classic devotional book. And as a new believer, I went through it every single day and I've been through it several times. But he says these words. He says, it is inbred in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we have not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things. You see, that's what God's looking at, the ordinary things. To be holy in mean streets among mean people. And this is not learned in 5 minutes. It's learned through a lifetime of imbibing in the love of Jesus Christ, who showed us the way of love and the path of love through giving his life away, as Ephesians 5:2 that calls it this an offering and a sacrifice to God and becoming a sweet-smelling savor and a pleasant aroma that affects everything around us. That's his love. Now, how can we be known for this love as we close up? Three quick thoughts. First is we can't let our feelings rule. Man, if my feelings ruled, I'd be angry one day and I'd be depressed the next. The love of God keeps us in that middle place, centered in the love of God, centered in focus on Jesus, looking at Jesus. Even as I thought so much about Pastor Bruce and Terry, that wonderful announcement we have, but it's also not just wonderful, it's painful for me to lose my friend after all these years. But you know what? That's thinking wrong. I'm not losing a friend. I'm sending a friend out into the nations. That's the love of God in motion right there. That's the love that's saying we're not going to focus. We're not just going to stare at the mirror. We're going to also look face to face and we're going to look in the nation of Taiwan and say we can make a difference there as well. And I'm proud of Pastor Bruce and Terry. It would have been so easy to stay. I'm proud of our team and our church family. It would have been so easy for us to hold them back. And we could have done that. Well, actually, I don't know that we could have. We could have tried to do that. But they're like, we got to follow Jesus. It's hurting all of us, but it's a good hurt. It's the kind of hurt that happens when you grow up and you get into the love of God that's a mature love, that's a remarkable love. So we can't let our feelings rule us and our feelings drive us. We also really need to remember that everybody needs to be valued. This is a fundamental human calling, us to be human, to love people, to value people, and to respect people of every walk of life. I have this simple little handy reference list for Christian response to social issues. I don't even remember where I got this from, but I changed a few of the analogies here, but it's like, what do you do with men? You love them. Female, love them. Mask wearers, those who are like mask fearful wearers, they wear their mask in their bedroom. We love them. What do you do for those that hate masks? We stay away from them, of course, but at the same time, we love them. We love them too. What do you do for those who are Democrats? You love them. Republicans, you love them. Immigrants with documents, you love them. Immigrants without documents, you love them. Look, we don't need to even ask those questions. God just calls us to say, love who's ever in front of you and never stop loving regardless of what you find out about them. Don't stop loving them. The poor people, wealthy people, Muslims. What about a Jewish Christian pastor? Love me. Thank you for your love. To be fully known and fully loved is the most healing gift one human being can give to another, says John Ortberg. The final thing about love is that love transforms. Love changes everything. There's so many stories that I can give, whether it's people in our church, people in history. There's nothing that transforms anyone like the love of God. And that's where we're going to end. We started with love never fails and love never ceases. Love never ends. We started there. And I want to end that way too. This is the ending point of everything. In your life, you can meet the love of God. They can make a tangible difference in your life and then through your life. That when you see little things like little accidents that your children have and you want to be mad, you can instantly remember and take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you could ask, in fairness, what would Jesus do? Would he scream at him? I don't think so. I know that I've failed many times, but the love of God compels me to keep moving forward. Father, we thank you so much for your love that is a great gift and a great virtue and a great reality that never departs from us. It's always with us, that will not be defeated, that will not fail, that will abide in us, even through the darkest of seasons known to humanity, like some of the stuff that we've endured through. We want to thank you, Father, you never leave us. And for those who don't know you, Lord, God, I pray, may your love prevail in their hearts and lives. And if anyone is watching right now and you're struggling with your identity, you're struggling with who you are, you're struggling with where you are, I want you to know that God sees you, knows you, and he's right there. It says in Revelation 3:20 that I stand at the door and knock. If you'll let me in, I will come in and I will fellowship with you and my love will abide in you. And you can do that right now. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I need to know you. I need to be with you. I want to be born again. I want to be changed forever. If you pray that prayer, let us know. Reach out to us. We want to walk with you and help you to get to know God, to grow together with a beautiful Christian family wherever you are, to discover your purpose and really truly make a difference in life. God's not done with you yet. He's got his hand on your life, and know that his love never ceases.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.